Chapter 6. Lupin. Secrets and Lies. Remus was fairly sure he'd just aged a decade in the time the door to his bedroom disappeared. Sirius, too, was terrified. They both attempted to apparate into the room, but it was impossible, a solid wall blocking them out. Sirius was furious, shouting and raving. Remus had to be the one to hold his hand, to reassure him, to tell him that it was going to be all right, even if he wasn't sure that was true. Sirius, you have to calm down.
I don't.
Sirius, unless you calm down, those two are going to be too scared to come out. Remus tried to plead with him. He held out his arms to Sirius. It only took a moment before Sirius folded into them, his head pressed against Remus's shoulder. Remus held him close, locking him where they stood.
What do we do about getting them?
They'll come out. Remus said softly. They're in there. It's been a big day for them. He tried to sound calm, even if he didn't feel calm at all.
Harry!
Sirius sounded so broken, and Remus wanted to help, wanted to kiss him, but he wasn't sure that was allowed. Instead, he ran his fingers gently through Sirius's long hair. It wasn't tangled anymore, but was still lacking its normal lustre. Sirius was hurting. Still raw from his time in Azkaban. He needed to rest, to recover from it, but he hadn't been able to because he'd thrown himself into rescuing Harry. Now the two of them were trying to handle two children, and they didn't know what they were doing. Remus just wrapped his arms around him tighter, stroking his back.
We've got to do this right, Pads.
He held himself back from kissing him, trying to soothe him in the way that had always worked for them before.
I want to, Sirius said. And even with everything he'd been through, even with all the healing he needed to do, Remus knew that was true.
We have to do it right for both of them. They both need us, Remus reminded him. And Sirius nodded, pressing against Remus, trembling a little in his embrace. Remus held him closer. Before he could say anything more, the door reappeared, and Sirius was pushing it open and hurrying into the room. Remus followed, seeing the fear on Draco's face as they entered the room. Sirius stopped in front of Harry, his fists clenching and then relaxing as though he wanted to grab the boy and make sure he was all right, but he was stopping himself. The two boys were holding on to each other again, and it was Draco who spoke.
I'm sorry, Draco said softly, his head down towards the floor.
What happened?
Remus asked, trying to project a calm and reassuring authority, something that the boys could trust and rely on.
I made the door disappear, Draco mumbled, and Remus didn't challenge him on his obvious lie.
The boy had clearly been crying, and he wondered if that was why he was hiding, because he hadn't wanted the adults to see that he was upset. Remus knew Sirius's main concern was Harry, but he was worried about both of these boys. They were visibly traumatized, and he wanted to make them feel safe.
Well, try not to do that again, okay? We were worried when we couldn't reach you because we weren't sure if you were safe. I know you're scared, but we're not going to hurt either of you.
Thank you, Draco mumbled. I won't do it again, I promise.
Remus got the feeling that was only technically true, but he still didn't want to argue with the boys when they had stopped hiding at last.
Thank you. Now you both look very smart in your robes.
He couldn't miss the way Draco preened at the praise.
We can maybe have a talk today about what the two of you would like to do.
Okay, Draco smiled nervously.
I've got all the schoolbooks I'd need for the first year of Hogwarts. My godfather gave me those, so...
He fidgeted a little with the left sleeve of his robe.
He wanted me to learn. And I can study by myself if that's allowed. Or...
Well, I can help if you need any support,
Remus told him gently, trying to plan out where Draco could read. There wasn't really space in his flat for even two people, let alone four.
We can study at the kitchen table today, if you and Harry would like.
Remus turned to Harry, who was clearly ignoring everything other than Draco's hand and his own.
I think just sitting down and spending time with you might be good for Harry.
You boys didn't get to see each other much before, is that right?
Only when Father had meetings, Draco answered.
I think you'd like to hear me read a book, though. He's been practicing talking, haven't you, Harry?
Harry nodded, frowning a little, and then repeating back,
"Practicing talking."
He seemed unimpressed, but Draco beamed at him. Remus was reassured that Harry was following more of the conversation than he thought.
"Well done. Come on, Harry."
Draco led the other boy to the kitchen table.
"You sit there. I'll go and get my History of Magic book and then come back."
Harry looked around at the two of them, glaring momentarily at Remus until Draco returned with his book. Draco climbed up to the table and laid his book on it.
"See, Harry, this is a book. It's got stories in about the history of magic."
Draco turned the book so that Harry could see it and started to read. For a moment everything was calm, even domestic. Harry was sitting at the table, watching Draco, and Draco was reading softly. Remus smiled over at Sirius.
"Would you like some tea?"
"Please,"
Draco asked softly, and Sirius nodded as well. Remus made four cups of tea, cooling Harry's and Draco's a little. Harry looked curious and reached into his pocket, pulling out a sugar cube and giving it to Draco.
"Thank you, Harry,"
Draco said quietly and accepted a second cube. He shook his head when Harry produced a third, and Harry shrugged and put it in front of himself, adding a couple more and floating them into a little stack. Remus watched him curiously.
"Could I have one of those, Harry?"
Harry gave no sign of hearing him.
"Could you give Remus one of those sugar cubes?" Draco asked.
Harry waved a hand and it went straight to him.
"Thank you, Harry."
Remus carefully examined it, sniffed it, then licked it. It was sweet. It was sugar. Remus didn't say anything about it, even though it was definitely not something that was right or normal. Sirius yawned, poured his tea into his own saucer, and placed the saucer on the floor. He stretched and turned into his Animagus form. That was when Draco screamed, and Harry was instantly on his feet, staring at Draco in confusion. He reached out, looking at Draco and wrapping his arms around him. The taller boy was staring at Sirius in wide-eyed horror, a look of overwhelming fear on his face.
"Draco's safe!"
Harry was protesting, cuddling him and patting at his hair with concern as Sirius stood up, turned back into a man and walked closer. Remus grabbed him before he could get too close to the boys, afraid that if he did, it might cause Harry to lash out. Then he spoke.
"Draco, Sirius is an Animagus."
"Grim,"
the boy whispered, his voice barely audible, and Remus could have kicked himself. He was so used to Sirius in his dog form that it hadn't occurred to him that Draco and Harry wouldn't be.
"He's not a Grim," Remus told him. "He's just a dog. A big, silly dog, and sometimes it's helpful for him to change into a dog to rest."
Remus tried to ignore the vaguely indignant expression on Sirius's face.
"He's an Animagus. That means..."
"I know what an Animagus is," Draco told him softly. "And I know what a Grim is. If you see one, you're going to die."
The little boy looked terrified.
"You're not going to die, Draco,"
Remus promised.
"He's just a dog. He's an Animagus. He won't hurt you."
Draco looked at Remus, and it was very clear he didn't trust him at all. Harry was still patting Draco's hair. Then slowly, the boy nodded.
"Sirius,"
Remus spoke carefully, looking over at him.
"Can you transform? Harry and Draco, you can pet him if you'd like to."
There was a pause before Sirius shifted into his dog form again. Draco looked at him curiously, but he didn't start to scream again. It was Harry that was bold enough to approach, to reach out and pat Sirius for a moment before he returned back to Draco.
We can carry on reading,"
Draco mumbled, leading Harry back towards the table, and Remus allowed himself a momentary sigh of relief. He went to prepare lunch and made sandwiches for the four of them. Sirius had retreated back into his corner and slurped his tea, but he nodded when he saw the sandwiches. "They ate," Harry carefully mimicking Draco to make sure he was doing it right. Remus's heart ached for both boys. It wasn't good for them to be cooped up inside. Remus thought maybe they could apparate into the middle of a field for a little while to let the boys run around, and maybe let Sirius do the same. He'd just finished eating his sandwiches when there was a knock on the door. Sirius immediately turned into his human form.
"You three into the bedroom. Stay quiet," Remus instructed,
then turned to Sirius. If I yell, then disappear with the boys out of there. Do you understand?
Course, Sirius answered.
The boys headed in, and Sirius went with them. Remus quickly hid the other plates, shoving them into the sink, and then opened the door. Albus Dumbledore was standing there, blue eyes sparkling.
Oh, thank Merlin, Remus. I was so afraid that you wouldn't be here.
He pushed his way into the house, and Remus stepped back. Dumbledore, do you want some tea?
Perhaps that would be best, dear boy. I've got some news that... Well, there's no easy way for me to tell you this.
For a strange moment, Remus expected Dumbledore to confess that Harry had survived. Dumbledore maneuvered him into his chair and reached out for Remus's hand.
What is it?
I'm afraid that... Well...
Dumbledore sighed softly.
There's been a breakout. According to the latest reports, Sirius Black has escaped from Azkaban.
Remus wasn't entirely sure what he was meant to be doing with his expression in response to that news.
I just came from a meeting with Severus where he urged me to contact you. According to him, Lord Voldemort is furious that his prized weapon has escaped.
Dumbledore reached out towards Remus and his expression. If Remus hadn't known better, he would have believed that Dumbledore was concerned. He wondered if Dumbledore realized that the identity of that prized weapon wasn't Sirius Black. He was sure the older man couldn't have known that the true weapon in question was hiding in the next room, alongside another child and the escaped convict.
You didn't come straight to me?
I wanted to have more information, to check with Severus to see if he was aware of any planned breakouts. I didn't want to cause you any unnecessary stress, but...
No, you did the right thing, Remus said softly. Thank you.
He hesitated. Maybe
you should leave.
Do you need me to arrange a guard for you? There's a chance he will come looking for you, you realize.
We were never... Looking back on it now, I was only ever a tool for him.
Remus made himself remain calm, hiding his anger and hurt.
If he does, I'll let you know. But no, I'm sure that getting to me is the last thing that's on his mind.
Remus swallowed and stood up, heading to the door.
I just need some time. Thank you for telling me, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore didn't say any more for a moment. He walked to the door and awkwardly rested his hand on Remus's shoulder.
It doesn't reflect on you, Lupin. You are a fine young man, and the person you fell for as a teenager. That's on him, not you. Just stay safe. If you need one of the Order's safe houses for a while, so that you can rest without having to worry.
I understand. Thank you.
Remus managed to avoid, ducking away from the touch and staying calm as Dumbledore nodded and left. He locked the door, cast warding charms, and then went to the bedroom. He knocked.
You can come out now.
It was Sirius who emerged first, and he rushed straight over to Remus, pressing a kiss to his lips.
You are never a tool for me. You know that, right?
Remus hesitated, gazing at Sirius, and then nodding slowly.
I didn't. For a long time.
He swallowed.
Under the bed, your jacket's there, and Harry's old teddies. I kept them safe.
Sirius's arms were around him, kissing him again, fiercer than before.
You kept all that?
Of course I did. I missed you, Sirius, even when I thought... I never stopped missing you.
Then Sirius's lips were on his again, and Remus blinked back tears as he kissed him back. The next few days were difficult. Both of the boys were challenging, and Sirius was having nightmares. He ended up sleeping in the bedroom in his dog form so that Remus could hold him. Remus was aware he could have charmed the armchair into another bed, but he was worried about his face revealing that he no longer lived alone. And anyway, it would have made the room overcrowded. He was going to need to move them to somewhere more sheltered, somewhere they weren't at risk of being caught by the Order. But he ended up lingering in his house for a little while. He'd gone shopping and bought clothes for Sirius, ignoring the snarling posters with Sirius's face on them. He'd also bought a few clothes for Harry. He'd gone into Muggleshop for those, so that no one questioned why he was buying clothes for children. It turned out that Harry was funny about clothes. He was used to running around barefoot and in robes. He didn't like wearing clothes with tight sleeves and refused any attempt at getting him to wear socks. The one time that Draco had managed to put socks on Harry's feet, they'd vanished within a minute. It wasn't just clothes that caused problems, either. His food needed to be cut into bite-sized pieces to keep him from shoving it whole into his mouth. He preferred soups and stews to solid food, and he continued to produce sweets from his pockets, despite the sheer impossibility of such an act. If Harry didn't like something, things would go flying. Remus was trying hard to be firm with the boy, without scaring him, trying to make it clear that such behaviour wasn't acceptable, but wouldn't get him hurt either. At points, Draco would handle Harry's temper tantrums with a hand on his arm, talking quietly to the boy. Remus felt pain for both of them, and hated the way they were so clearly hurting, Draco with his obvious fear and Harry with his anger. Harry would echo Draco's speech sometimes, and even talk to Draco, but he continued to ignore both Sirius and Remus. Draco had gone through his trunk and produced the box full of wolfsbane potion, which he'd handed over.
"Sophie said this was for you, Remus."
He gave no sign of knowing what was in the box, and Remus took the medicine, glad that at least when the full moon came, he would be able to sleep. He wasn't sure what future months would bring, but he could at least make his way through this month. Today was Harry's birthday, a few short days before the full moon. Sirius watched as Remus made a cake, mixing it the mug away. There was a sadness to Sirius' expression.
"Not for your thoughts," Remus asked softly, twisting to look up at him. You look upset."
It's been so long. He was 3. I've missed 5 of his birthdays. 5 years when I should have been there, and..."
He shook his head.
"He's only 9, Remus, and he... his magic. What if I can't help him? What if I mess him up more?"
"Sirius."
Remus left the mixture to walk over and wrap his arms around Sirius' shoulders.
"I can tell you with absolute certainty that you aren't capable of messing that boy up worse than he already is. He's doing better, I think. He's just learning."
"Sometimes I think he hates me."
"He's scared. He doesn't know what is going on, and he's trying to work out what the rules are,"
Remus answered.
"I know that's what Draco said. That he's trying to work out what we want, and... they're just children, Sirius. They're scared."
Sirius nodded, nuzzling him close.
"We can give him a good day, can't we?"
"A good day," Remus agreed, returning to his mixture. "For both of them."
"Yeah," Sirius swallowed.
He still didn't feel comfortable around Draco, that much was obvious, but he got better not scaring the boy. He'd even been able to accept that in his own way, Draco was good for Harry. It wasn't long before the boys emerged from the bedroom, Harry leading the way and Draco following. Draco was wearing an emerald-coloured robe, made of expensive-looking fabrics. Harry was wearing the pyjamas that Draco had given him, although they were now short-sleeved. He'd vanished the fabric from wrist to elbow. Draco had tolerated that with the same quiet irritation that he'd handled some of Harry's other shows of magic.
"Are we learning today?" Draco asked hopefully, a shy smile on his face.
He was always eager to study, and Remus's heart broke for the boy who had seen his own dreams curtailed as his life became limited to Harry's wishes.
"A little, but today is Harry's birthday, so I thought maybe we could go and play. There's a field where you 2 can run around if you like."
Remus kept the offer gentle, not wanting to scare him. Draco nodded, frowning a little.
"I didn't know Harry had birthdays."
He shrugged to himself, and Remus was struck again by how innocent these children were, despite everything.
"Should I have got him something?"
"It's okay. But maybe you can make him a card," Remus suggested, smiling at Harry. "Happy birthday, Harry."
He was careful to always talk to the boy, even though Harry never acknowledged it. Remus had taken charge of all the birthday preparations. There were a few presents for Harry. Harry didn't really seem to understand the idea of having possessions, but they had decided to still get him some gifts for the day.
"Okay, Harry can help,"
Draco said firmly.
"Harry likes helping."
That at least was true. Harry wanted to help Draco all the time. He followed the boy around and kept him close, and Draco seemed to draw comfort from their proximity as well.
I'll finish making the cake. Sirius, can you help the boys decorate cards?
Sirius led the boys to the table, folded some stiff parchment into card shapes, and gave the boys one each.
Here.
Sirius sat by Harry, even though Harry didn't really look at him. Draco went to his trunk, returned with some quills and different coloured inks, then carefully picked up which Harry could use. Remus wished Harry was a little more delicate with Draco's possessions, but Draco didn't stop sharing with him except for a few things that he refused to let Harry touch, and Harry seemed to respect that. Harry grabbed a quill and shoved it into the ink. Draco meanwhile was far more delicate, starting by writing inside of the card, while Harry just tried to make marks on the paper. Draco turned over his card and wrote, "Happy Birthday!" at the top before he drew what to Remus looked quite like a green sausage with a tongue.
"What's that?"
Remus asked curiously, as Sirius attempted to engage Harry in discussion.
"A snake," Draco told him. "He likes snakes, I think."
He paused, glancing over at Harry.
"Harry, you like snakes?"
Harry shrugged a little in answer, and then nodded. Further confirmation that he followed much more of the conversation than he could explain, and Remus wished they were in a position where they could get these boys to the best healers, the best teachers, but it was just him. He hoped he could work out how to help them both.
"I think it's good for Harry to practice holding a quill."
He gave Draco an encouraging smile.
"You've been doing wonderfully reading with him, but if you need to make notes for your studies, maybe he can copy you."
"Maybe."
Draco hesitated, and then reached for Harry's card. He found a part of the parchment that wasn't already marked, and wrote out, "Harry," then "Draco." He sounded them out as he wrote, careful.
"There you go, Harry. That's our names. You can copy them if you like."
Harry gripped the quill awkwardly, his fingers tangled around it. He tried to copy Draco's name, but it didn't work. He simply lacked the control over the quill. He glared, and the edges of his piece of parchment began to smoke. It took a second for Draco to spot that, and he noticed just as the flames licked to life along the edge of the parchment.
"Harry, please,"
Draco pleaded, and Harry sighed, waving his hand so that the fire vanished, leaving only a slight burn mark against the wooden table. Draco rubbed at it with his fingertips, wincing a little at the soot.
"You don't need to worry, Draco," Remus told him gently, getting his own wand and vanishing the marks. "And it's okay, Harry. It's difficult and it takes time. You just need to practice using a quill, but that's all right."
Even as he said it, though, Remus began to wonder. Was this the answer they needed to communicate with Harry? If Harry didn't like to speak, perhaps writing would be easier for him. Still, that was a problem for another day. For now, what mattered was helping him feel calmer and to let him enjoy his birthday.
"When's your birthday, Draco?"
Remus asked.
"The 5th of June."
"Another early birthday, then."
Remus gave him an encouraging smile.
"Mine's the 10th of March, and Sirius is the 3rd of November. Just Harry's at the end of the month. His is at the very end of July."
"Is that what day it is today, then?"
Draco asked, and Remus managed to smile, even though he felt a little nauseous.
"Yes, today's the 31st of July.
He thought they should put a calendar up and give Draco that at least. It hadn't occurred to him that it would matter. Remus himself got the profit, but, given how upsetting much of the news was, they'd try to keep it away from the children. He supposed Draco deserved to know the date, though, so he could keep track.
"The cake should be ready."
He went to fetch it from the oven, then handed around slices of it after carefully cutting Harry's piece into bite-sized chunks so that he didn't choke. He didn't bother with the candles on top, not wanting to confuse Harry.
"After lunch, would you two like to go out and play outside?"
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Rebu Pai. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 7 Draco, the Dead and the Hidden.
"I think Harry would like that," Draco answered diplomatically.
He didn't actually want to go outside, not when it would be dirty there, but he knew Harry would like it.
"Can I put a different robe on, please?"
"That sounds like a good idea,"
Remus gave him an encouraging smile. Unlike Sirius, who could be a messy dog,
Remus was always careful to ensure that there wasn't unnecessary untidiness. Remus was always patient. With Harry, yes, but also with Draco. It meant Draco felt a little bit safer now than he had when he had first arrived. He ate his cake and said thank you. The adults had got Harry presents for his birthday. Draco thought to himself that none of them were as good as what he'd got for his own birthday. The robes he was wearing today, and the books for the first year of Hogwarts. Even the mark hadn't been a terrible gift, although it had hurt badly, even with Severus's potion. If he hadn't been given the mark, he might not have been able to get to with Harry. That thought was tangled with sudden sadness. He missed his home and his family. But he knew that they wanted him to be safe. Harry's presents were not things Draco would have liked, but he hoped that they would make Harry happy. There were some beads and ribbons for him to play with, some paper that would change colours if he got it wet, and a cuddly toy in the shape of a fox. Draco thought that the fox toy might have been made for a dog rather than a child. That was probably good. Harry was careful with Draco's cuddly dragon, but when he'd been given his own stuffed toy, a black dog, he'd accidentally made it fall apart. Remus had fixed it, but it was back in a box now with some other teddies that they weren't allowed to play with. Draco didn't understand what the point was of having teddies he couldn't play with, but he wasn't an adult. Harry liked the beads. Draco showed him how to string them onto the ribbon, and he was happy to do that while Draco went to get changed. All of Draco's things were carefully packed in his trunk, where he kept them when they weren't being used, so that they wouldn't get lost or damaged. He pulled out a set of robes that he'd wondered about giving to Harry, before Harry had got his own strange muggle clothes. If these one ended up getting dirty, he supposed it wasn't so bad. He thought he would look through the trunk later and see if he had anything he could give to Harry as a present, because Harry had always tried to find toys for him. For now, though, he returned to where Harry was waiting. "Thank you for waiting for me," he said politely, because it was important to be polite and thankful when he was treated well. Harry grinned at him, holding up a few of the beads he'd managed to string together. "Do you want that as a bracelet, Draco?" Remus asked, and Draco nodded, lifting up his arm for him to tie the ribbon to his wrist. It was only when the sleeve rode up slightly that he thought better of it, reaching up with his right arm instead. He didn't think that Remus would have noticed a black mark there, but he didn't want to get in trouble if Remus had. Remus had his lips pressed together, and he looked a little angry, but he didn't yell or tell Sirius. Instead, he carefully fastened the ribbon around Draco's wrist. "There you go. Now, are you two ready to go outside?"
"Please," Draco requested.
He'd gone out into the garden back home after he'd been branded, but he hadn't been outside since. He wondered if there'd be flowers where they were going. Harry held onto his hand and looked expectantly at Remus and Sirius. Draco looked at Harry curiously.
"You don't have any beads on. Didn't you want a bracelet?"
"Draco," Harry answered with a smile.
"Oh, they were for me?"
Draco grinned at him.
"Well, that's nice of you, Harry."
Harry gave him a big hug, and for a moment Draco felt lucky he had a friend like Harry. Harry didn't have much, but he was willing to share what he had, even if it was just a few beads. Sometimes Harry was messy, but Draco knew Harry cared, and that was more than could be said for some adults. Remus and Sirius cared too, and that was strange. Remus smiled at them, eyes sparkling.
"You two ready? We can go to a field, and you boys can run around. Sirius too."
"Thank you,"
Draco said quickly. He was excited about the idea of going outside with Harry. He thought Harry would like being outside. He didn't know if he'd got to, other than if he was doing things with the Dark Lord, but Draco didn't want to know about that. He took Remus's hand.
"Harry, hold on to Sirius."
The adults apparated at the same time, so they arrived together in a big field full of plants taller than Draco.
"A friend of mine lives not that far away,"
Remus told them, pointing towards a distant and wobbly-looking cottage.
"But we're not bothering them today. You can just play."
At that, Sirius shifted, turning into a large black dog. Harry immediately cuddled Sirius, who responded by licking Harry's face. Draco frowned in disgust, but reached out to pet Sirius's ear. Sirius tried to lick him in response, but he yelped and jumped back, nearly falling over.
"No,"
Harry said firmly to the dog.
"Draco is mine."
"No." He pointed at his tongue, then looked to Draco for help.
No licking, Draco supplied, and Harry nodded enthusiastically.
No lick, he told Sirius, but then he patted him gently. Sirius whined, nuzzled Harry, then went to pounce on Remus. Draco watched for a moment, then held his hand up for Harry.
Let's look for flowers.
Harry walked over and tried to lick Draco's face, but he stopped when Draco glared at him. They set off to find flowers, walking through the tall plants.
Draco!
Harry called out, running ahead. Draco had hoped that Harry might have found some flowers, but he wasn't lucky. Instead, Harry was staring down at the back half of a frog. Harry tilted his head, and its legs moved. A moment later, it moved again.
No, Draco said quickly. You can't do that. Sirius will be angry with us.
Harry sighed and waved his hand so that the half-frog vanished. Draco thought it was probably best not to tell Remus about that, even though Remus had asked Draco to tell him about the magic Harry did. He didn't want them to be in trouble. So far, Remus and Sirius had been nice, but he was scared that if they were angry, they might take away his things or hurt him. He didn't think they'd hurt Harry. Harry was special, to them and to the Dark Lord. And Draco was only special to Harry. Harry reached for him, looking around for things to play with. Eventually he found some twigs, and he floated them through the air for Draco to grab. The two of them ended up playing together, giggling and chasing the sticks, and it reminded Draco when he'd been little and Dobby had done magic for him. It was fun, and Harry was happy. Remus and Sirius stayed close, but if Draco tried hard, he could pretend that they weren't there, and that it was just him and Harry having fun together. After a little while, Harry found some old leaves, and they joined the sticks in flying through the air like the knot butterflies had before. They played in the sun and the tall plants for a long time, and Draco found he kept smiling. Harry was smiling too, and they could pretend there was no one else there, nothing scary. Just the two of them playing with some sticks and leaves that Harry had made into toys. When it was time to go home, Harry took the sticks and leaves with him and gave Draco's hand a tight squeeze. Draco had got a bit pink from the sun, so Remus gave him a potion which was nice and made Draco feel cared about. That evening, Draco waited until Remus was going to have a shower and then carefully carried his candle to the trunk. He wanted to find Harry a present that he would like, that would make him happy. He searched, thinking. Harry needed to practice his writing, and Mother had given him a few notebooks to use for schoolwork, if he was allowed. He carefully dug the notebooks from beneath his textbooks. There were a couple that were green, and one that was blue. And at the very bottom, there was a small black one, with paper, not parchment. It reminded Draco of the robes Harry wasn't allowed to wear anymore. Sirius didn't like them being anywhere he could see, so the robes were hidden deep in Draco's trunk, too. He opened the notebook, reaching for a quill and planning to write, "Happy birthday, Harry," inside of it. A drip fell onto the page and disappeared. Feeling bold, he tried again, dropping little splashes of ink onto the page. They all disappeared too. Draco beamed. This was the perfect gift. Harry could practice writing, and it didn't matter if it was messy or untidy, because no one would see it. The notebook would eat the ink, and they wouldn't get in trouble. Feeling very proud, he walked over to Harry and handed it to him. This is for you, to practice writing in. Harry nodded and cuddled him close. When Draco fell asleep later, he was happy he'd given Harry a good present. Remus didn't look well the next day. He looked worse the day after, and the day after that he still looked exhausted. He was pacing around the room while Draco was trying to read, and it was scary in a way Draco couldn't explain. He didn't like how Remus kept tilting his head and breathing funny. It made Draco feel scared. It made him want to run. Harry seemed to realize that something was wrong, and he stayed close to him, which helped a little with the terror. As the day drew on, Draco found he couldn't concentrate on his reading. He was trying to study potions, which was normally his favorite subject, but the fact that something was wrong with Remus was disturbing him. Harry was sitting quietly beside him, making one of the twigs float around the table.
Harry! Draco!
Remus came over to the table.
I need to talk to both of you.
Draco sat straighter immediately. Harry wasn't facing Remus, but he moved to curl up against Draco, his hand resting on Draco's left arm and brushing the brand through the sleeve.
What's wrong?
I need to talk to the two of you about something. He sighed. I didn't want to upset you, but you need to know this.
He shook his head.
I've got a problem. A problem that Severus knew about. That Severus has helped me with, but...
Remus looked unhappy again.
It's being treated, but I... When I was younger, I was attacked by a werewolf.
Severus knows?
Draco asked,
his words little more than a whisper. Severus knows,
Remus agreed.
He makes medicine to help me. I'm not a danger. Not with my medicine. It's called...
It's Wolfsbane potion,
Draco interrupted after a moment.
He taught me how to do it. That was why, wasn't it? Because you're...
He gazed up, fearful.
You're dangerous, aren't you? You're going to hurt us.
Harry turned to Remus and glared.
No, Draco is mine,
he snarled, showing his teeth, and the air around him crackled with dark energy.
I don't want to hurt either of you, or anyone else. My medicine makes me sleepy, so Sirius and I are just going to curl up on the sofa tonight. I just can't stay with you, and you might hear some strange noises, but you are safe.
Draco didn't feel very safe at all, but he nodded.
I know how to make wolfsbane potion. Sophus gave me some of the things for it, and a few other potion ingredients for first-year patients, and a bezoa, which works against most poisons. And there's money in my trunk if you need to buy ingredients. I can...
You're just a child, Draco, Remus said kindly. If you can make medicine, that's good, and Sirius and I can help with it. I'm hopeful Severus can still find ways to supply me, but it might not be possible. But if I can't have medicine 1 month, Sirius and I have ways of managing it without medicine. We've done it before.
Remus smiled at him sadly.
Actually, Harry's dad helped me a lot when I was younger as well, because I didn't have any medicine then, but I had friends. It was safe. You are still safe. And I've been thinking about it a lot. We need more space.
Draco leaned against Harry's side for a moment, and Remus carried on speaking.
After tonight, we might need to move somewhere else, so we can have more space. So that you boys aren't trapped in the only bedroom on full moons. But it worked today. I'm very sleepy, really. That's the main thing. I just cuddle up with Sirius, and I won't hurt you.
Draco wasn't sure he could believe it, but he did believe in the warmth of Harry's hand on his arm, and the knowledge that if they were dangerous, Harry could protect him.
Can we go to bed now?
You can. It's best if you two stay in the bedroom tonight, all right?
Remus smiled.
I can ask Sirius to read you a bedtime story, if that's what you want.
We're all right,
Draco told him quickly.
I can read stories if Harry wants me to.
He wanted to get away from Remus, wanted to get somewhere safe with Harry. He thought of how Severus had insisted he learned how to make wolfsbane potion. Severus knew that he was going to be living with a werewolf, and still thought that it was safer than with the Dark Lord. Draco wasn't sure what he should think about that, other than being glad he wasn't with the Dark Lord anymore. It was still very light when the two of them headed into their bedroom. Draco pulled on his pyjamas and sat on the edge of the bed. He was frightened. Harry made his way over, sitting down beside him. He put his hand on Draco's arm and patted him gently.
Draco is safe. Draco is mine. Yours,
Draco agreed, trying to hold his voice steady. They were safe. He hadn't asked Harry to vanish the door this time, because he didn't want them to be in trouble.
Don't let Remus in until tomorrow, okay? When the sun is up, he can come in. But it's really important that you don't let him in tonight. Do you understand?
Harry nodded. He sat up, his eyes seeming to glow in the somewhat darkness of the room. His hand stroked Draco's hair. Draco was shaking. There was a werewolf in the next room, and werewolves like to hurt little boys. Harry was strong, but werewolves were strong as well. He remembered how easily Harry had healed the scratch he had got from Greyback. That helped a little. He was shivering.
Harry, can you cuddle me, please?
Harry moved on the bed to lay beside him. He put his hand on Draco's sleeve, and the fabric from elbow to wrist disappeared. Draco wasn't sure if he should complain, but a moment later, Harry's fingers closed over the brand. It felt safe, warm. Harry's touch was protective, comforting. Draco is safe. Harry said it so determinedly that Draco believed him. He didn't sleep well that night. He thought he could hear howling through the door. Whenever he opened his eyes to look around, he saw Harry's green gaze in the darkness, another nightlight matching the candle at the windowsill and the full moon outside. Harry was still holding onto his arm, and it felt safe. He fell into deeper sleep as the sky started to lighten, always aware of Harry around him. Harry's hand was on his mark, guarding him. He heard the door open and felt Harry's hand on his arm tighten. Then he heard Sirius's voice, loud and angry.
What the fuck?
Harry's other arm wrapped around Draco, pulling him back against his chest, the air around them seeming heavier now. Then Draco opened his eyes.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Revu Pai. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 8. Sirius. Truth and Magic. To the extent that it was possible to have a good full moon, Remus had one. The potion made him sleepy and kept him sedated, but the wolf inside was affectionate. It seemed to understand that Sirius was back, and that Sirius was his mate, so he was content to just curl against him, nuzzling at his fur. Sirius returned the affection gladly, even as his heart ached. He wondered if the wolf felt James's absence the same way he did. Sirius had promised he wouldn't let the wolf near the boys, but given the medicine Snivellus had provided, the wolf had no interest. It would rather just nuzzle up to Sirius. It checked the bedroom door a couple of times, but Sirius thought it was just making sure their cubs were safe. He growled softly, and the wolf returned to him, tucking in close and nuzzling for the comfort Sirius was glad to provide. By dawn, Remus started transforming back. Sirius used the wand Remus had kept safe for him for so long to cast Silencing's charms to protect the boys from hearing Remus's pain, screams, and howls as his body reformed. It never got any easier to watch the clear pain playing across his partner's body as the beast gave way to the man. Eventually it was over. Remus lay there, shivering and whimpering. Sirius laid a blanket over him, gathered him up into his arms and pressed gentle kisses into his hair, and whispered soothing words into his ear. For almost 6 years, Remus had faced these nights alone, and it sickened him. Remus's eyes focused slowly and looked up at him. It broke Sirius's heart every time, how desperate he looked after the full moon. How every time he was bracing himself for rejection, for Sirius to tell him he didn't want someone so damaged, so vulnerable.
"I'm here," he promised, because it was all he could say, the only comfort he could provide.
"Can you go and check on the boys?"
Remus asked, and Sirius knew what that cost him. Both because Remus wanted company and because he would have wanted to check himself, but he wasn't strong enough yet. His body was still hurt and raw.
"Of course," Sirius promised, pressing a tender kiss to Remus's lips. "You get some rest. I'll make breakfast."
He reluctantly pulled away, removing the charms he'd cast and going to open the door to the bedroom. Pushed it open carefully. The first thing he noticed was how Harry was curled up around the other boy. While he wished that Harry would stop being so possessive over the other child, he couldn't miss how much they cared about each other. Both boys had been through hell, and even if he wished it wasn't a Malfoy, he was glad that Harry had someone. The second thing he noticed was that the sleeve of Draco's pyjamas had disappeared, which he assumed the boy would be insufferable about later. The third thing he spotted was how Harry's hand was over something. Blackness burned into Draco's skin. He'd seen a similar mark before, branding his baby brother a few weeks before his death, but Regulus had at least been a teenager. The thought of someone doing that to a child was horrifying.
"What the fuck?"
he shouted, and Harry's eyes snapped open, glowing gold. He felt himself pushed back from the room by the sheer force of the child's magic. The air was thick with power, and he realized then that Harry could slip through his fingers. Harry could run, and he couldn't stop him.
"Draco!" Sirius called out. "Calm him down!"
He heard glass break in Draco's frantic voice. Remus moved to sit up, still visibly trembling, and wrapped the blanket tighter around himself.
What did you do?
I didn't... The rest of Sirius's argument was lost as the door to the bedroom vanished again. Remus raised an eyebrow, and Sirius tried to do one of the smiles that had occasionally kept him out of detention.
Well, they're still in there. That's...
Sirius. Remus looked concerned. What happened?
I shouted,
Sirius admitted, and Remus gestured for him to continue. Sirius didn't really want to say what had happened, not while Remus was still hurting, but he needed to tell the truth.
I saw... on Draco's arm.
He's got the dark mark, hasn't he?
Remus couldn't hold his voice steady as he said it.
I thought I saw it when I was putting that bracelet on him, but...
Monsters, Sirius muttered.
Even as he said it, he was realizing something terrible.
We can't keep him. Not if it let Voldemort find us.
He felt sick. He couldn't let that happen, but he couldn't put Harry at risk.
I'll take him. We can look into treatment, some way of...
No.
Remus shook his head. We're staying together.
And anyway, Harry... Harry can get through walls if he wants.
Draco told me. Splitting them up would only make it worse.
Sirius could have cried with relief. He didn't want to leave Remus or take the boys away from each other when they needed to be together. He hesitated.
So what do we do?
I need to use the bathroom and clean up, Remus pointed out with a smile. I better put some clothes on and then we wait. I'm hungry. Maybe if we make some food, the kids will come out.
Sirius was aware he would have panicked if he'd been on his own. He would have yelled and shouted and generally been rather useless about the entire situation.
But Remus was calm and in control. He was able to try and tempt the children out of hiding.
When Remus came back, Sirius grabbed the clothing Remus had put aside the previous night and handed it over.
Remus's fingers were a little shaky, so he was the one to button the other man's shirt and help him do up the fastenings of his trousers. He nudged his face into Remus's neck, remembering past days when they'd been able to rest together, able to hold Remus close. The two of them still fitted together perfectly, Remus still calming him when he needed it most, and he was full of devotion for the other man. He needed to feel that closeness again.
Won't you? We've got to look after the children, Remus told him firmly, before squeezing Sirius's hand.
Won't you too, if you'll have me?
Maybe when we've got somewhere new, where the boys can have their own rooms, Sirius suggested, and Remus nodded with a smile.
They both were aware that there was no chance that the boys would actually sleep separately, but they were going to give them space. They had been corresponding with Gringotts using ours, and they were hoping they would be able to get access to Sirius's vault. That would give them the money they needed to start a new life with the boys.
I've been thinking, Remus told him, pulling back to looking into his eyes. I know they're young, but I think they need wands. Harry's magic needs to be channeled, and Draco... It's not good for him to be without magic, and he's had to really repress his... I think getting him a wand would...
He shook his head.
I remember what getting a wand felt like for me. Because we weren't sure about it, not until Dumbledore said I could go to school.
So what, we just walk in with them?
Sirius raised an eyebrow. Because I'm not exactly meant to be out, and people will be looking for Harry.
We polyjuice Harry, and Draco too if we can. You can be a dog. We need to give them this chance.
If we decide to do it, then the only question is when to make it happen.
You're good at this fatherhood stuff, Sirius told him fondly.
He didn't think he'd ever understand why James and Lily had chosen to make Sirius Harry's godfather when Remus was there, and incredible in every way. A moment later, there was a soft crack as the door to the bedroom appeared. Remus looked nervous, staring at the door. It took a few seconds before it swung open, revealing Harry and Draco there, holding on to each other. Draco looked especially nervous, and Sirius didn't like that. He hated he'd frightened him.
Please don't be angry with Harry, Draco said quietly as he stepped forward.
With his sleeves still vanished, he had his arm curled up against his chest, trying to conceal the mark there.
It wasn't his fault. They made him.
Hmm? Remus asked, moving forward. Draco looked nervous, but Remus was gentle and didn't get close. Sirius was in awe of how well Remus was managing the children, especially on a day after the full moon when he probably just wanted to rest.
You're angry I got the mark, aren't you? The kid asked,
looking up at them with intelligence shining in his eyes. He didn't want to hurt me. Harry doesn't like hurting me, so you can't be angry at him, please.
Can we see it? Remus asked, frowning. Why would...
He did it, Sirius answered.
He hadn't realized until he was speaking what he was going to say, but he was now certain that it had been Harry who had done it.
I couldn't see all of it. Harry's hand covered a lot of it, but... I saw the Death Eater's mark in Azkaban. For all of them, design was the same.
Draco cautiously held out his arm, his eyes fearful. Harry stood at his side, his hand resting against the mark. This was how Draco was able to call Harry to him when Snively had demonstrated for them. Because Voldemort had made Harry permanently scar the other child out of some cool idea of ownership. Sirius wanted to punch something. Draco looked frightened, and Sirius made himself calm down and unclench his fists.
I'm not mad at either of you, Sirius said.
And that was true. He didn't exactly like Draco. He was too pure blood, too much everything that Sirius had fought to distance himself from. But he was still a child, and he was there with dark magic burned into his skin because Voldemort had found it funny to give Harry a friend while twisting Harry's knowledge of friendship beyond recognition. The design was a skeletal snake in the shape of a lightning bolt. Sirius couldn't bring himself to touch it.
Can I take a look? Remus asked,
and when Draco nodded, he leaned in to examine it, holding it up to the light and leaning in, then carefully brushing a fingertip across it, careful not to put any pressure on the stain.
Does it hurt?
Not any more. It hurt at first, but Harry helped, and so did Severus. He gave me some medicine, so it... Draco looked down, guilty. I'm sorry.
You don't need to be, Sirius told him firmly. Not about this. I'm sorry that I shouted. I wasn't angry at you. I was angry that someone had done this to you. Can you understand that, Draco?
It wasn't Harry's fault, Draco insisted, his voice little more than a whisper. Harry's hand slid over the brand, his fingertip running down the spine of the snake.
Okay, no one's in trouble. Now Remus. Remus needs some rest, so are you boys okay to study quietly today? You can talk, but we need to be careful not to disturb him. I don't mind, Remus protested, even though he was visibly exhausted. The boys need to play, and I'll be fine.
We can play quietly, Draco promised. Thank you for not hurting us. Harry was still tracing the snake, hissing gently to himself, and Sirius realized how much Draco did care for the other boy. It would have been easy for him to blame Harry for what happened, to try and protect himself, but that wasn't what he had done. Instead, he tried to keep both of them out of trouble. He thought of the discussion he'd had with Remus while the children were hiding. Draco deserved to learn magic properly, to feel like he was able to defend himself rather than having to rely on Harry. Sirius didn't think Harry would intentionally hurt Draco, but he knew Harry would feel better if Draco wasn't entirely reliant on him for protection.
Boys, we've been talking. We need a little time to get everything ready, but we're going to get you both wands.
Draco stared at him with wide-eyed wonder. I get a wand. He sounded almost breathless with excitement, tears shining in his eyes.
You do. Both of you. Has Harry used a wand?
Harry's magic doesn't work like that, Draco answered, but he turned to Harry, conveying his question through whispers and gestures. In answer, Harry pressed his finger against the brand on Draco's arm, and for a moment the colour grew darker. Draco leaned in for another question, and Harry shook his head. Draco looked up after a moment. He held the Dark Lord's wand to give me the mark, but I don't think he used it exactly. Draco was watching them intently, as though he thought the chance to get a wand was about to be snatched away from him again. Sirius hesitated slightly, an unpleasant thought occurring to him.
Draco, can you do any magic?
Draco looked down. I'm not meant to.
We don't mind you learning, Remus told him, and Sirius was glad that Remus was handling this part of the conversation. You're only a little young.
The Dark Lord didn't want me to learn any more after I was Harry's. Harry can do things, but...
Draco shrugged his shoulders, gesturing at the air.
The idea was just too big and complicated for him to put into words, and Sirius felt so sorry for him. He wished he had an easy answer to give him.
Well, you can learn now, Remus promised. He's not, you know, Sirius interrupted.
Draco gazed up at him, and for a moment he looked offended. I'm not a squib, I... Suddenly the tears came, and Sirius felt guilty for upsetting the boy yet again. Someone let me borrow their wand and showed me how to make sparks and light a fire. But it's... it wasn't allowed. She was just worried that if I didn't practice my magic, I might turn in... He fidgeted where he stood, clearly unsure if he was in trouble for confessing. I'm glad you got to learn, Sirius told him. He wasn't a huge fan of the kid, but he wanted him to be happy, especially when Harry clearly cared a lot about how Draco was. It would take a month for the polyjuice to brew. In that time, Sirius sourced hair from Muggle children for both of the boys. Harry seemed to be gaining confidence. He was able to talk a little more to Draco, and would happily embrace Sirius in his dog form, even if he was still wary of both Remus and Sirius when he was human. Meanwhile, Draco proved to be eager to study, and even helped with the production of the polyjuice. Remus had made a countdown calendar for when the potion would be ready, and Draco checked it daily. He seemed less scared of the coming moon when he knew that he would soon have a wand. Sirius was working on getting access to his vault without admitting he was alive, but that wasn't the easiest thing to do. As the moon drew closer, Snivellus provided the wolfsbane for the month. He met with Remus and refused to have Draco in the room. The rejection clearly hurt the boy, but he didn't complain about it. He just cried when he thought no one was paying attention. Sirius added this to the list of reasons to despise Snape, for all that Dumbledore trusted him. He didn't trust Dumbledore all that much either, after he hid Harry's survival. He wanted to challenge the other man, but Remus was keeping quiet, and therefore, reluctantly, so was he. The full moon was no worse of an ordeal than the previous month, and Remus spent a couple of days regaining his strength before, finally, the potion was ready. Draco was up early that day, clearly excited. Harry seemed to pick up on the other boy's good mood and bounced along beside him, gesturing away and leaning in to talk to Draco. Draco was practically doing a fashion show, regularly running back to his trunk, trying on a robe, and then a few minutes later changing to another one. Harry was in his Muggle clothes as usual, and when Draco went to change yet again, Harry laughed. It was a good noise. He wasn't talking to Sirius or Remus, but he sounded more human now. It was good to see them so cheerful after both boys had been struggling the previous night. Remus had said early on that the children had nightmares. It didn't prepare Sirius for the nights when he slept beside his chair and witnessed them. The way that Harry would twist and turn and hiss, noises that were far from human forcing their way through his throat. Other times he would scream, cover his eyes, and throw up a barrier between them and him as he shouted, "No! No!" at the top of his lungs.
Other nights, Draco would lay there, face pale as he fought for breath, crying in silence and waking to gaze emptily out of the room. On nights when they had nightmares, there was little they could do other than reassure them, fetch them hot drinks, let them cuddle each other, and, if it was Harry, let him embrace Sirius in his animagus form.
You both need to stick close to Remus, Sirius reminded them. You'll have had polyjuice, so you should be okay, but I want you to both keep holding Remus's hands unless he tells you otherwise. It was a good plan, and the boys needed wands.
Harry needs to get changed. Draco looked up at Sirius as though he'd forgotten something.
Sirius took a quick look towards Harry, who hadn't vanished any of his clothes, but was barefoot.
Harry, will you please wear sandals for this? Remus asked,
crouching down and fetching a pair that hadn't been vanished yet.
I know they aren't comfortable, but we're going to go to Diagon Alley to get your wands. There'll be lots of people, and they will want you to wear shoes.
Harry pouted, crossed his arms and looked at Draco. Sirius expected the boy to reason with Harry, to cajole him into obeying the way he normally did. Instead, Draco stared at Sirius.
He can't go like that.
What?
People will think he's a mudblood,
Draco protested, and Sirius saw red. He took a step forward, only to find there was an invisible barrier between him and the boys. The way that Harry leapt unknowingly to Draco's defence made things worse. Harry had no choice but to do what Draco taught him. Draco was the only one who could talk to Harry, and the idea that he'd been slowly poisoning Harry's thought with pure blood bile was disgusting.
Don't you ever use that word!
Sirius snarled at Draco, wanting to push through Harry's barrier, but knowing that he couldn't.
I thought you were old enough for a wand, but if you're going to talk like that... Black!
Remus snapped, reaching out to grab his shoulder.
Stop that! But he's a kid, Remus said. He doesn't know any better, and...
Remus's hand rested on his arm, and Sirius looked at the boys, really looked. Draco was crying silently with his head bowed. Harry was cuddling him close, muttering and wrapping his fingers over the band in a gesture that both boys seemed to find calming. "They're kids," Remus reminded him softly. "Shouting doesn't make bad ideas go away. It just scares them into silence. And he needs a wand, Sirius. We can't make that contingent on good behaviour." Something about the way Remus said that made Sirius feel like shit. "Draco." He kept his voice gentle and sat down on the ground in front of the barrier Harry had thrown up. He tried to sound the way that Remus did when he was explaining things, even though it wasn't easy. "You shouldn't use words like that for Muggleborn, okay? It's not a very nice word." Draco nodded, lifting his right hand to his face to wipe at his tears as Harry continued to grasp his left hand tightly.
"I'll be good, I promise. Please let me have a wand."
"It's okay. I didn't mean you couldn't ever have a wand, you. You can have one today." Sirius looked up at Remus for help. "It's not a nice word, that's all, and you can't say it."
"But people will hurt Harry if he looks like a, you know?"
Draco stared at him, eyes shining, and Sirius tried to go beyond listening to the disgusting words he was using. Draco was trying to protect Harry. He thought he'd be in danger. He was trying to help in his own way. "It's all right," Remus interrupted. "He can wear what he wants, and anyway, he'll be with me."
"He can't wear his robes, though,"
Draco mumbled, clearly almost surprised at his own boldness.
"No, he can't. The point is that no one can recognize the two of you,"
Remus explained, and Sirius flinched a little at the idea of how he still wanted to dress like a tiny Death Eater.
"He's with us, and he won't be in trouble. And Muggleborns are just as magic as we are."
Draco didn't look like he believed Remus, but he nodded anyway. He looked at Sirius. "Harry won't like it if he hit me." There was certainty there. Almost too much certainty. Sirius didn't want to question it, but he wondered again what these boys had been through before Snivellus had deigned to hand them over.
"Come on. Let's get you to the shops before you do anything else."
He tried to sound calmer than he felt, and it seemed to work. Draco nodded and smiled.
"Harry, can you put the shield down now, please?"
A second later it fell away, and the boys approached Remus. Harry looked at Sirius with suspicion. Sirius made himself act responsibly and walked over to Draco and smiled down at him.
"I'm sorry," I shouted. "I know you want to protect Harry, but those are some nasty thoughts. I get it. It's because that's how you've grown up, but you need to try not to think like that."
"I won't say it any more," Draco said quickly,
and that didn't feel like a victory.
"I used to think nasty stuff too," Sirius told him. "When I was little, my parents said those things, and I realized they were wrong, and it wasn't true. So it meant that I had to run away, and my brother. He tried to run away in the end as well, but it was too late. And it was hard to learn not to think those things. But you've got us, and we're going to help you."
Draco didn't exactly look convinced, but again he nodded. Sirius was uncomfortably reminded of how carefully obedient Draco became around the full moon, agreeing to things just to try and protect himself. Sirius wished he could say something and fix it. Instead, he forced himself to smile.
"Ready to get your wands?"
Draco nodded eagerly, reaching for Remus's hand as Sirius transformed. He watched as Remus handed over the polyjuice. Neither boy complained about the taste or the pain of the transformation, and a few moments later, two different boys stood in front of them.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Bobby Pye. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 9. Draco. Touches of Magic. Draco wiggled a little where he stood. His ribs didn't fit quite properly in this new body he was forced to have for now, and his head felt strangely light with shorter hair. Harry had got a little taller, and he'd got a little shorter, so Harry was taller than him right now, which was kind of funny. Harry looked at him, and then Harry frowned.
"Draco?"
"Yeah," Draco whispered.
"Still me.
Just the polyjuice potion, remember?" Harry let out a soft whimper of distress and reached out towards him. It took a moment before he understood, but then Harry grabbed his sleeve and pushed it back. He found himself staring at freckled skin without his brand. Harry hissed in displeasure,
glaring at Remus and Sirius. Draco is mine! Draco, meanwhile, felt like he couldn't breathe. His chest was all too tight, and his tummy was swirling, and he was suddenly very scared, because this wasn't his body, and he didn't feel safe at all. Harry was still distressed, grabbing at his arm tightly and glaring at the adults. As Harry touched him, he felt a sense of calm settling. It still felt safe when Harry touched where the mark should have been. He could feel Harry's magic around him, and that helped. It was still scary, but it wasn't quite so bad, not when Harry touched it. "It's still there." Remus's voice was a bit strange. He sounded like he might be sad, but was trying not to be. "It's still there. It's only the surface that changes." Draco nodded, trying to pretend he wasn't shaking, and grabbed Harry's free hand. Harry didn't look right at all. His hair was brown rather than black, and his skin was only a couple of shades darker than Draco's own. Harry wrapped around him, comforting and reassuring him with gentle care. That felt right at least. He took a deep breath and clung to him. They had to be good so they could get wands. He pulled his sleeve down so that he couldn't see the absence of his mark. Sirius was being a dog at the moment, and he was nuzzling against Remus, gentler than he normally was as a dog. Normally he was all drooling and naughty, but he seemed to be looking after Remus now. Draco knew he was meant to make sure Harry was behaving, so he wiped his eyes and managed a nervous smile at Harry. "He'll be back soon?" He had to believe that. He was still Harry's, and Harry wasn't going to let anything bad happen to him. Harry kept his hand on the sleeve where the brand should have been. "It's okay, boys," Remus told him, one hand resting on Sirius's fluffy shoulder. "We're going to go straight to Ollivander's and get wands for you both. There's some other things to get, but those can wait. For now, that's our goal."
"All right. Harry, stay with us, please?" Draco asked,
and Harry nodded quickly. Draco sighed a little, gazing at Harry.
"You're going to need to put sandals on. You realize that?"
Harry pouted in response, but he didn't argue. He slipped his feet into the sandals, and Draco managed to smile at that. It still didn't feel right, not having his mark, but he knew that Harry was going to stay with him anyway. He tried to tell himself it was still there, that it was just covered up with makeup like Mother did with bruises if they were Joe.
"Ready?"
Remus asked, reaching out for their hands. Draco took his hand and watched as Harry took the other, making a triangle with Sirius in the middle. The world around them changed, then stopped. Harry looked around curiously. His gaze fell on the burned-out wreckage of a shop, and he whimpered, rushing straight to Draco. Draco cuddled him one-handed, still holding on to Remus with the other hand like he was meant to. He was looking around for anyone who was familiar. There was a man a short distance away, talking to a witch. It might have been one of the masked men. Draco didn't know. He didn't feel safe here without Harry's mark, but he knew Harry would protect him either way. Remus gave a gentle tug to their joined hands, leading the way down the road towards a shabby shop with a dusty window. He pushed open the door, and Sirius walked in first, then Draco and Harry, and last of all Remus. It didn't look like there was anyone else there, just a single chair and a lot of boxes. The entire place was small and dusty, and the air felt funny, like when Harry did magic sometimes.
"Good afternoon," a strange voice spoke.
It came from an old man with pale eyes, shining strangely in the light.
"Now, I really don't think that this deception is a good idea."
He shook his head.
"The things people do nowadays. I assume they're underage?"
"There are reasons," Remus said firmly, as the man moved closer and looked at both of them.
He reached out towards Harry, and Draco desperately shook his head.
"Please don't touch him," Draco murmured.
It seemed to work. The man snatched his hand back and redirected his attention to Draco. He leaned in closer and frowned.
"Remus, I should know who these boys are."
He was nose to nose with Draco now, and Draco thought he might scream again by accident, the way he had when Sirius had first transformed.
"Remus Lupin, 10¼ inches. Cypress, unicorn hair. A strong wand. Faithful if prone to melancholy. It chose you for your self-sacrificing nature, that you were fearless, that you were ready to lay down your life for the cause. And now? These boys? They are your cause, I suppose. Yes. Remus didn't sound frightened at all, even though the man was definitely frightening. Do I get to know these boys' names? No, Remus answered, as Sirius growled, and Harry hissed a little. The man paused and stared at Harry in surprise rather than fear. You do believe in making my job a challenge, Remus? He shook his head and looked between them. Which first? Remus pointed at Draco, and Draco stepped forwards. The man pulled out a magical measuring tape. Which is your wand arm?
Right, Draco answered quickly, holding out his arm.
He let the man begin to measure him, even though it wasn't his own body right now. Well done. I do suppose you children do want to be here. I would hate to have reasons to call the oars.
I want to be here, sir, Draco answered quickly. And so does my friend. He just can't talk well.
All right.
The man nodded to himself, his mind made up. He wandered over to the boxes, letting the tape continue its work.
This boy is a pureblood, one of the 28. Underage. Here, Mr. Malfoy.
He handed over a wand, and Draco took it, wondering if he should argue about his name.
Ebony and Phoenix Feather. 8 inches. Nice and flexible. Try it.
He held out the wand, and Draco nervously took it in his fingers, balancing it. He gave it a wave, only for the man to snatch it away, shaking his head.
No, no. Try this. Holly and Phoenix Feather. 11 inches. Nice and supple.
Draco tried again, and it didn't seem to work. It didn't feel right in his fingers. He missed his mother's wand, and suddenly he missed his mother.
Hmm.
The man frowned a little.
What about this one? 10 inches. Hawthorn wood. Unicorn hair. Reasonably springy. Try it.
He pressed it into Draco's hand expectantly. Draco waved it, watching in wonder as a glowing ball of light formed at the end. The man clapped loudly for a moment and smiled.
Interesting. Very like your own, Remus. Suited for healing magic and curses. Faithful.
He shook his head.
Now, the other boy.
He doesn't like to be touched, Draco tried to explain, wanting to protect Harry from what was happening.
Well, that's...
The man's eyes widened, and he leaned in to take a close look at him.
They are looking for this boy, you know. They say his magic is remarkable. Capable of even greater things than the one who found him.
There was a sudden loud growl from Sirius, who was still at Remus's feet with his lips drawn back in a snarl.
They are great things, the man continued,
ignoring Sirius's anger.
Terrible, but great.
Draco kept his fingers wrapped tightly around the handle of his wand, not wanting it to be taken away from him. His fingers were shaking, and he watched as the man walked around Harry, evaluating him. He felt scared by the intensity of the man's gaze. He looked at Harry differently from how he looked at Draco, as though he was seeing that Harry was something more.
Try this one. He picked up a wand. Beechwood and dragon heartstring. 9 inches. Nice and flexible.
Harry took the wand, waving it awkwardly in the air and gazing at Draco for guidance. Several of the boxes floated up into the air, and after a moment he let go of the wand and it stayed floating there.
No, that won't do.
The man took the wand from the air.
Not at all. Does he not know how to channel his magic?
He isn't the most educated. He has a lot of power, though, so if we can find the wand for him, Remus answered.
I don't know where to start. Not concealing his identity would definitely have helped, the man muttered, picking out another and then almost immediately snatching it away.
Harry snarled at the snatching. He did not like it. Draco moved closer, resting his hand on Harry's shoulder for comfort.
Perhaps this. He returned to the holly wand he had tried for Draco. Perhaps this.
You have to focus on your magic and put it through the wand, Draco tried to explain, demonstrating using his to make another little orb of light.
He gazed at that light for a moment, smiling because he could do magic and had a wand. Screwing his face up with concentration, Harry tried to copy the movement Draco had done. There was a sudden loud bang, and Draco nearly dropped his wand. He looked back at Harry and watched as the wand disintegrated into ash and fell to the floor of the shop. Draco braced himself for the man to be angry. Instead, he smiled and nodded to himself. Curious. Curious. But yes, just like that. He paced as he went through the wands, murmuring before he grabbed another one. Harry took it and there was another loud bang, making Sirius whimper. Draco stayed standing by Harry, even as the pile of ashes grew. He was scared that the man would be angry, but he kept scanning the shelves, clapping his hands together in delight. This clearly isn't working, Remus said firmly. Draco could begin to feel his arm burning, his skin shifting as his body transformed back. Harry's hair and skin were changing too. Draco pulled Harry away, pulling galleons from his pocket for his own wand and placing them on the chair in front of him, because the adults were distracted. Sirius came to stand beside them, nuzzling Harry's leg. Harry smeared soot into Sirius's fur. Remus frowned and looked at Draco, then handed him galleons from his own pocket. "You'll bring them back?" the man asked. "He is spectacular." Remus grabbed Harry with one hand and Draco with the other, and the world shifted around them. A moment later they were home. Sirius was back to being a man, snarling and pacing, and Draco carefully led Harry a short distance away, still holding his wand. He wished that Harry could have had a wand as well. The adults were arguing now, and he didn't want to listen. He knew Harry didn't exactly use spells, but they had to hide from the adults, so he said, "Come on, Harry, let's go to our room. You can practice fighting, and I can practice spells." They retreated to their room, and Draco pushed up his sleeve to watch as the brand slowly reformed on his arm. Harry tried to scribble in his notebook, writing out the alphabet as Draco supervised. His letter sank into the page after a moment. As Harry seemed to get more confident, Draco tried to practice some of the easy spells that were at the start of his charms book. Time passed, and Draco felt a little hungry. Before he could say anything, Harry had reached into his pocket and pulled out sweets for them. "Thank you," Draco whispered, eating a sweet and staring at his wand. He was a wizard, and he was going to learn spells that would help keep Harry and him safe. Draco sat on the bed, his books around him and his wand in his hand. He liked his wand. He liked the way it warmed to his touch and answered to him, and he liked the fact that it was his. Harry never tried to snatch it or take it. He treated it with the same care he showed to a few of Draco's other precious things. Draco was glad for that. Lumos. The tip of his wand glowed softly, and he knew that he was doing magic, real magic. The kind of magic that he thought would always be denied to him. "Harry," he called out, "look." Harry, who'd been busy organizing his collection of sticks and pebbles into an impossible tower and adding snail shells around them, looked up and grinned at the glowing light in the darkness. He clapped his hands and the room filled with glowing spheres that danced and spun in excitement. Draco watched the lights and waved his wand, joining in happily. He knew his magic wasn't like Harry's. It would never be quite the same as Harry's. But it didn't matter. He'd taught himself a spell, and that was important. He had magic. Magic he'd never expected to be permitted to use. After a few moments, he had to let his wand tip fade because the focus tired him. He practiced it again and then a third time. When he was sure it worked, he went into the main room, where Remus was reading and Sirius was curled up as a dog in front of the fireplace, warming his stomach. Draco hesitated by the doorway. He didn't want to bother the adults, but he wanted to show them that he could be useful. He bit his lip, not sure if he should flee or step forwards. "Hello, Draco." Remus looked up with that kind smile he showed the two of them often. "Is everything all right?"
"Yes, thank you. I was just practicing and,
He felt nervous. But he made himself show them, waving the wand in the right pattern.
"Lumos."
He felt relieved when the end of the wand lit up as it was meant to. He let it fade almost immediately.
Better to have them underestimate his abilities than expect more from him than he could give. Remus grinned now, happier than a moment before, and clapped his hands together.
Wonderful, Draco. Really, that's remarkable.
Well done, kid.
Sirius had reformed into a man, and he muttered it, but he smiled. Harry had emerged from the bedroom, and he waved and made the lights appear again.
This is Lumos, Draco explained. It makes lights.
He smiled and then leaned in to whisper to Harry.
I know you don't need to say spells, but sometimes people might like it if you do, okay?
He glanced back into their bedroom and grabbed one of the twigs Harry had been playing with and showed him the movement, not trying to hide what he was saying anymore.
Hold this and say Lumos, please.
Lumos?
Harry echoed, and Draco nodded quickly.
Just like that, then make more of the lights,
Draco explained. Harry nodded sincerely and did it. It wasn't using a wand, but it was close enough that it could pass, and maybe it would help them.
You two are brilliant, Remus told them.
It wasn't a solution to the fact Harry broke wands, but it might help. Draco decided he was going to look through all of his books and find an actual solution.
What spells should I study next?
Draco asked quietly. He thought if he did what the adults wanted, they'd see the good points of giving him a wand.
I think that the levitation charm is an early one. But also if you practice, you should be able to ensure that the wand keeps glowing until you extinguish it. But that takes time, Draco. You should be really proud of what you managed so far, Remus explained.
Sirius was grinning at Harry, clearly proud. Remus looked for a moment like he might try and hug Draco. Before that could happen, the fire turned green. Draco stumbled back and reached out for Harry as Zephyr's head appeared among the coals.
Get out. You have an hour at most.
Almost instantly it was gone. Sirius snarled and Harry looked at Draco for guidance.
Boys, get your stuff.
Draco rushed into the bedroom, grabbing his books and cramming them back into his trunk. Harry picked up some of the toys he had lying around, including the presents that he'd been given for his birthday. Draco helped him add them to the trunk, without complaining about the mouldy leaves. He kept looking towards the window, wondering if the masked men were coming. He couldn't see anyone. He ensured that Harry had his notebook and his clothes, and then Sirius and Remus walked into the bedroom. Both were carrying rucksacks over their shoulders. A flurry of activity followed. Both of them shoved things into their bags with no sign of concern for tidiness. Draco suspected there was some kind of expansion charms on the rucksacks, because they were able to keep shoving stuff in without running out of room. The wardrobe was emptied. Draco still kept looking at the window, wondering when the masked men would come. He didn't know what would happen when they appeared, but it wouldn't be good. He didn't want Sirius and Remus to be hurt for helping them, but he knew that around the masked men, what he wanted didn't matter. Sirius fished under the bed for an old jacket and the toys Harry wasn't allowed to play with. He put jacket on and added the toys to Draco's trunk. Then, the adults each took a hand off Draco's trunk.
We're going somewhere new, Draco, Harry, Remus explained. It'd be safe, I promise. It'd be an adventure.
Draco wasn't sure he trusted that. He thought that the adults might be more frightened than they were letting on. But he took Remus's hand and the world around them spun. When it stopped, they were back in the field that they had played in before. Remus looked as pale and shaky as he did around a full moon. But he faked a smile.
We're going to camp now. We'll set up the tent.
Draco watched the adults work, standing a short distance away with Harry. Remus prepared the tent while Sirius warded the campsite, and Draco watched, trying to learn the spells that he was using. Remus floated his trunk into the tent. It wasn't a small tent. On the inside it was actually bigger than Remus's house had been, and there were two little bedrooms off to one side. Remus placed his trunk in one of the rooms and expanded the bed.
You boys get some rest before dinner, Remus mumbled, going to help Sirius.
Harry blinked, innocent and confused by the sudden move. Draco was aware he should have been frightened, but Remus and Sirius hadn't been panicking at all, so he supposed things were okay. He wondered if they remembered to pack the leftover stew that had been in the freezer for Harry. Rather than asking that, he moved to lie down on the bed and gazed up at the ceiling. Harry lay beside him, his head resting on Draco's shoulder. He waved his hand in the movement they practiced before.
Lumos!
The balls of light appeared again. They'd been camping for a few days, long enough for Draco to wonder what the plan would be for the full moon. He was frightened about that. But for now, he and Harry had their own room. He'd been practicing the Lumos a lot, and now his wand stayed lit until he extinguished it or fell asleep. It was night time, but Draco wasn't tired yet, and Harry wasn't ever tired. He didn't seem to sleep much at all. Harry was practicing some writing in his notebook, writing out his and Draco's name and a few other words. Draco, meanwhile, was hard at work, trying to find a better solution to Harry's wand issue. The stick Harry was using worked to stop the adults from worrying, but it wasn't a real wand. Remus said having a wand helped you focus and let you control your magic, let you do things with more precision and skill. You needed a wand to be a real wizard, and Harry deserved that. He wished he could have had the books from home. He knew exactly where in the library he could find things that would have helped. But he couldn't get those books. He returned to the Illustrated Guide to the History of Magic his mother had got him when he turned 8. A lot of it was really just children's stories, and he liked watching the creatures play on the page. But he wasn't sure what other books might help. He flicked through the pages, watching the creatures climb up the margins and searching for something he could use. He paused when he caught sight of a picture of Merlin. Merlin was the most famous wizard of all time, the Prince of Enchanters, powerful beyond imagination. He was a Slytherin, and he was able to do magic that had never been achieved by anyone before or since. But that wasn't what caught Draco's attention. His eyes were drawn to what was being held by the man in the image. Rather than a wand, his fingers were wrapped around the middle of a staff. He stared for a moment, watching the image of Merlin raise his staff into the air to call down a rain cloud, quenching fiendfire. Draco's own father had concealed his wand inside a cane, and Draco flinched a little at the memory of his father bringing it down, making Harry look up from his notes. "Draco, hurt?" "I'm fine," Draco lied, and relaxed as Harry walked closer and wrapped around him for a moment. It could have been that Merlin had simply concealed his wand within the staff. He flicked through until he found a picture of Merlin dueling Morgana. Again, Merlin was using his staff to block the curses she was throwing. The staff didn't conceal a wand. It was a wand.
"Harry, I think I know how to get you a wand," Draco whispered, feeling himself smiling broadly. "We need to talk to the adults."
He was hopeful that they wouldn't be angry at him, not when he explained that what he had worked out would help Harry and mean he could learn to better control his magic. He would have liked to test it, but there was no way he could. Instead, he would have to go to the adults and tell them what it was that he had discovered. He allowed himself a few more moments of watching the image of Merlin before he got to his feet.
"Come on, Harry. We've got to talk to Remus and Sirius."
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Bebu Pye. Thank you for listening.